This podcast is part of the Deluxe Edition Network. To find other great shows on the network, head over to deluxeeditionnetwork.com. That's deluxeeditionnetwork.com.
This is the podcast making, public transit taking, kiss stealing, wheeling dealing, son of a gun, Tim the Nerd, welcoming you to another episode of Friends Talking Nerdy, part of the Deluxe Edition Network. Head to deluxeeditionnetwork.com to find out about all of the lovely shows on the den. That came organically. Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
That whole intro, yeah.
That whole intro, it just comes to you every week.
Yeah, just something out of nowhere, like the greatest legal mind in the Pacific Northwest when I first called you that in episode 100. I mean, like, you openly laughed at me, but I thought it was one hell of a great, you know, if you're going to have, like, a nickname, the greatest legal mind in the Pacific Northwest.
No, it's just not true. And I feel like it sounds like I'm saying, like, look at me, I'm so fancy, and that's not who I am at all, so it feels weird.
Yeah, no, I get it. It is meant for fun.
And I was very clear when you did it that's how I felt about it, but now we just do it all the time, and I don't want people to think that I like it or I think it's appropriate.
Okay. All right. Well, hi.
Hello.
How's your week been going?
Not good, I guess.
Oh, man.
I'm feeling kind of ornery.
Uh-oh. It's going to be one of them episodes, folks. Batten down the hatchet.
Yeah, I mean, certainly there's nothing good going on outside the bubble of Portland. Not a lot going on good inside the bubble of Portland.
Lots of silly stuff, but one thing that definitely can brighten a mood is the companionship of an animal.
Well, I was just about to say that luckily I just kind of try to ignore what's going on in the rest of the world and hang out with the cats instead. That's not all. I have been watching the news in the morning lately. I like to be informed in a way that's in the background that I can ignore.
Nothing wrong with that, though, but I think you also watch news in an appropriate way, not, you know, like some people that have it on all day and that's their entire lives. It's like once a day, you're there, you hear what you need to hear, boom. And that's a great thing about the news too, to your point, even though it is a visual medium, there's really not much visually you really have to pay attention to unless it's like words on a screen. But even then, most of the time they're reading something from, you know, are the graphics on the screen.
Yeah, totally.
Yep.
I think you can listen to the TV news and understand exactly what's going on without having to see them.
Yeah, you don't need to find out, you know, what tweed jacket the, you know, male anchor wore, or what dress the female anchor wore, or, you know, what kind of shoes they wear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like thinking about that because I think they are forced into these normie, like, what if those people, that's not their style?
It's a costume. It is a costume. I mean, I remember back in Grand Rapids, how weird it would be going to, like, Meijer's, the grocery store, the local regional grocery store chain. You might have seen them in Kentucky.
Yeah, they have them.
Yeah. In Kentucky. Yeah, but anyway, I would, you know, go on occasion, and it was close by WZZM Channel 13, the ABC affiliate. So every now and then you would see news anchors in there doing their shopping and whatnot. And yeah, it would be weird seeing them, you know, with the professional hair. The hair was still in good condition, but like in quote unquote normal clothes, not like a suit and tie or, you know, fancy, you know, dress or something like that. It's just like, you know, weird.
Yeah. Weird.
Yeah. Anyway. But you have been having some enjoyable times with the cats this week.
I have absolutely been having some enjoyable times with the cats this week. You know, without you in the house to entertain them all the time, they have become a little morose, like little urchin kittens wandering around on the dock by themselves looking for friends.
Mister, where are you, mister?
Because, you know, I was just working or whatever, and I'm not paying attention to them. So I decided to take little breaks with them, and I was going to take 2 10-minute breaks and play with them for 10 minutes and see if that satisfied them or seemed to like that, or if it just annoyed them because I didn't do it long enough. I wasn't sure what was going to happen, so I did experiment. And they seem okay. They seem cool with it. Like, Annie the first time got tired, and the second time she got tired. So I feel like it was a success.
Yeah, you've been utilizing the new toy I ended up purchasing at a local pet store on my way home from work. And that toy, Annie absolutely adores it. I've seen her react in such a different way with this new one compared to the other ones, because, like, she just doesn't stop. It's just zoom, 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 zoom. I gotta get it, gotta get it, gotta get it. Where the other ones, and I'm not implying at all that she doesn't enjoy the other ones, it's just she plays with them differently.
Yeah.
A lot of times it's more stealthy and just watching and then pouncing. And that's fun, you know, as well. That's the reason why you have more than one toy, because it can work out, you know, different things in different ways, you know.
Yeah. Totally. That's what Jackson Galaxy would say.
And didn't you say,
with all the things in the condo that I don't want to be here, that the cat actually is a great habitat for cats who live in, like, junk piles and stuff.
We don't have junk piles here. I mean, while it is a cozy place, a smallish place, it is not, I mean, you know, I've had hoarders in the family. Let's put it that way. I've seen what, you know, the junk piles really are, and it's not here.
Yeah, but I was just saying, you know, there's lots of stuff for them to hide under and boxes for them to get in and, like, stuff for them to do.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They find hiding places everywhere. But the sure way to get them out is with treats. And you ended up buying them a big
32 tub. Ounces.
Yeah, a big tub of their favorite treats.
Of their favorite treats, yes. Yeah. And I was giving them some treats today as well.
And I can tell you that, I mean, with a cat, like, you don't need to give them much time for them to be satisfied. So, you know, 2 10-minute clips of you giving them attention is more than enough. And, you know, they love you.
Yeah, I just feel bad for them, especially Annie, because she's just like, meow, 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 meow.
Mister.
Yeah, just, and then, and you know, Mimsy's much more independent. But Annie, like, wants you to follow her around. She wants to show you stuff.
Well, Mimsy, though, can be funny because, like, when she plays, she will, take the knitting thing that Annie took over. But she will run, and Mimsy will run around with it in her mouth and go, wow, wow. And like, I don't know how to necessarily take that. I think is either having fun, or maybe she is, because it does sound like, you know, she's, like, sad or a little depressed or something, or like, where are you people type of deal. So, but I'm maybe reading into it, you know.
What people?
Well, like, if she had vision issues or something and walked out of the room and, you know, did that or whatever, maybe she didn't. And I'm not saying she does, and I'm a helicopter parent, I guess, you know, but I just don't know how, because, like, you've heard her do that when, mm-hmm. when she walks around with that toy. Like, I just don't know how to read it as of yet. Mm. You know, she could just be just enjoying herself, and when she plays, she's vocal like that. And but, you know, she could also just be sad about something, and maybe something got triggered. I don't know.
Yeah. When I see her playing with that, she seems pretty happy.
Yeah, I mean, physically, yeah, when she's, like, running around, just, yeah, she'll, because also, too, I mean, the fact that when she does have it in her mouth and she's doing that, when she drops the toy, then she will, you know, move on to one of the other little, like, furball toys that you bought, and, you know, they'll just run around the house playing hockey with that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm probably reading into it. I am reading into it. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I think she's fine.
Okay. All right. Any more about our lovely cat?
Well, they've put on some weight. They've filled out a bit. I'm not going to let them get too out of control because I feel bad about their bones. They have very, very, very thin, elegant bones.
I have seen cats that are, you know, extremely overweight, and it can't be comfortable for them.
No.
At all. I mean, yeah, like there was a TikTok video of like this dog that knocked over an overweight cat, and then the cat just like tried to turn over but couldn't and was moving its paws.
Oh my God, that's so sad.
Yeah. I mean, I don't
think. My goodness.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen to our cats, but you never know. I don't think anybody sets out to, you know, hey, let's make our cat overweight. Ha ha ha.
Yeah.
You know, just like anything else. I mean, if.
Personality.
Also, sometimes I think, you know, the same as human food, the cheaper food isn't necessarily the best food.
Well, yeah, I would think the opposite of that.
You want to spend a little bit of money to get a little better ingredients and all that stuff, but the kitties are fine.
Yes, they're very shiny. They have very clear green eyes. They're doing very, very well.
Speaking of going well, are you familiar with Gina Carano?
No.
Do you remember The Mandalorian?
Yes.
She played Cara Dune.
Okay.
And trying to bring up her photo here to show you, but yeah, she in 2021 or 2022, and there's the picture right there, her.
Okay.
Yeah, in about 2021, 2022, she was let go by the Walt Disney Corporation and Lucasfilm, essentially fired because she took her social media accounts and used them as a way to say a lot of bad stuff, you know, and she was given chance after chance. She was given a chance to apologize because, you know, early on, it could have been explained that because it's social media, I didn't explain myself properly and I put my foot in my mouth and hurt people. I'm sorry, but she didn't want to do that, you know, and ultimately Disney told her to have no more controversies with her social media. And then what does she do? She has one last bit of controversy. And let me go to what she wrote here that ultimately got her fired. 2021, Disney and Lucasfilm announced that she would not be returning to The Mandalorian or getting her own series because one thing she posted was a picture of like Jews in World War II. And she said, most people today don't realize that to get to the point where Nazi soldiers could easily round up thousands of Jews, the government first made their own neighbors hate them simply for being Jews. How is that any different from hating someone for their political views? And she was comparing the anti-vax movement, the you know, election denier movement, to what the Jews had to endure during the Holocaust. And she expected that there would not be any sort of, you know, answer to that, apparently. And she found out the hard way. So she ended up losing her job. The Reverend Tracy and I on a couple of
episodes. What's her job?
Well, on The Mandalorian.
Oh, okay.
Cara Dune. She got fired.
Okay.
Yeah. So the Reverend Tracy and I have, you know, spent a couple of episodes in our archive a couple of years back, you know, right at the time when this happened, talking about this. But now, thanks to Elon Musk and X, I guess about last year, Elon, quote unquote, promised to fund lawsuits for people against corporations that fired them for social media posts. Gina Carano is the first one. And what she wants is she wants a court order that would force Disney to recast her in the role, to pay her $75,000 as well as punitive damages as well. And like, wow, burning money is a unique way to own the libs.
Yeah, I mean, what can you, it's, I mean, there's just no addressing it, really. There's no rational response to it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously now, thanks to the money, she's going to have a day in court if it gets to court, if it's not dropped for being absolutely ridiculous. But we can't make the mistake, because she was fired for the comments that she said of thinking that Disney and Lucasfilm were doing the right thing. It was about money. It's all it ever was. If you own a business and you have an employee that is going on social media and saying things that are losing you customers, whether you're a major corporation like Disney or you just own a mom and pop shop, you're going to let that employee go, and you are not violating their First Amendment rights by doing that.
No.
Not at all. And that's, you know, not to take any sort of side up or down. I mean, I don't think you have to be a brain surgeon to know how, you know, what our side is in regards to some of the things she said. But at the end of the day, it boils down to any job. If your presence on social media is negatively affecting your employer, you could work at McDonald's one day a week. You would be fired.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, they want, like, their political viewpoint to be, to mean that they're equivalent to Jewish people or women or BIPOC people or American Indian people, or, like, you can just go down the list, and they want to be on that list themselves because they're being persecuted for their political beliefs. And this is just the hugest load of crap.
Because it is not persecution. It is
people, political discourse.
That plus people, you know, understanding that sometimes there are responsibilities for actions that you make. And even if those actions include saying something on social media, if that causes a lot of people to be upset, you had your First Amendment right to say what you did. That doesn't mean you don't have to suffer the responsibilities for your actions.
You don't have a First Amendment right to say whatever you want, wherever you want.
Well, I know. You can't go in the theater, yell fire.
But if I'm in a hotel and I start handing out pamphlets and talking about Hare Krishnas, they can kick me out. It's not a violation of my First Amendment rights for them to silence me.
Well, yeah, I mean, and you're right, because they're a private business and they don't have to have you on there.
The First Amendment applies only to the government's interference with your right to speak.
Yeah, I mean, the moment Gina Carano gets arrested and put in jail for saying what she said on social media, then we're going to be there to fight for her, whether I agree with her or not, because right is right. But this is just fucking stupid. Fucking stupid. Like, a complete waste of money. And for a company like X, Twitter, that has already lost, like, what, more than 40% of its value since Elon Musk took over that company, funding frivolous lawsuits like this, how is that helping anything? And why do people want to keep giving this person money?
Well, he has a lot of money himself.
Well, of course, even though I guess there was a lawsuit or something like that recently that made it to where, like, a bonus he received from the Tesla Corporation, he couldn't get that.
Oh.
You know, but again, yeah, he's not going on food stamps. I mean, what more needs to be said? You know, being that we talked about this incident so much when it first occurred, I felt it was important to kind of bring it up again. But, you know, this isn't a story about the content of what she said. You can agree or disagree with what she said, but once you get to a point to where if you agree with what she said and you want a business to be forced to continue to have her as an employee, even though that would lose them money, that's where you're going to lose me.
Yeah.
Anyway, how about we talk about a quick bit of news here, show-wise? We have a sponsor.
Oh, my goodness.
We do, thanks to the Deluxe Edition Network. Joining that wonderful team there has definitely reaped a lot of benefits for the show here. And one thing that it has done for us is allowed us to have a sponsor, coffeebrothers.com.
It's Coffee Brothers. That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
I love coffee. And I love brothers.
I love coffee myself. I'm okay with brothers, you know, let's put it that way. But in the coming weeks, you're going to hear more about them. The professor and I are going to, you know, be investing in some of their coffee to be able to taste it for ourselves, to be able to tell you folks at home, you know, just what it's like. Because, you know, you made a great point in terms of if we are going to be advertising stuff on there, we want it to be able to be something we can speak to.
Yeah. If we're going to be recommending that people try it, then we should definitely try it ourselves.
Yes, yes. Now, you know, having said that, if, you know, you do want to help us out today, even though this is the start of a journey for us, you can go to coffeebrothers.com, and when you make any sort of purchase there, use the promo code FTN10, and you will get 10% off.
FTN10?
FTN10 promo code. So, yeah, had... That is quite the opportunity.
It is quite the opportunity. I'm very excited about it. I would really like to get some of this coffee as soon as possible.
Now, damn it. Now. Because then we can, you know, do an hour-long show in 5 minutes. Yeah, we would just use...
We need the coffee, okay, people? We need the coffee.
Yeah, you have not met me in the morning. The professor has. You know,
he's lovely in the morning.
Yeah, just type of deal. I look like one of the zombies in a thriller video in the morning. Just, you know, anyway, how about we kick it over to one of our friends at the Deluxe Edition Network?
Let's do it.
All right. Kick back, relax, and enjoy this message about one of the lovely shows on the Den.
Hey, man, what's your bacon?
You gotta tell everybody what that means first.
It's that extra side topping of main course in life that makes everything about your day even better.
Whether it's movies, music, cooking, paranormal, video games, whatever it is that helps you unwind, maybe even get a little bit inspired. We talk to hot new bands.
We are Felicity.
Hey, this is Bradley from Emerosa.
TV personalities.
Hi, my name is Rachel Pizzolatto.
Hi, my name is Patty Megley.
Wrestling personalities.
Hi, everybody, I am Eric.
WWE Hall of Fame Godfather here.
Actors.
This is Sean Kanan. Thank you for joining us.
Hello, podcasters.
Emo Social Club.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dave Schrader.
Pretty much any like-minded creative across all facets of the entertainment industry.
You can check out Bacon Is My Podcast on all streaming platforms, as well as the Strangerhood TV YouTube channel. New episodes dropping every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Listen in when we find the answer to the question,
what's your bacon?
If it has not become apparent over 343 plus episodes that I'm an insecure bastard, I don't know what will convince you folks at home. Insecurity, emotional well-being has been one of those tightrope acts of mine. And I think a lot of people can say that too, in terms of trying to keep that balance, because everybody has insecurities about something, but it can be at times easy to let those insecurities kind of overwhelm you, and that does affect your emotional well-being, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So as we like to do on the show here, we go to our friends at Psychology Today, and we have a wonderful article that we're going to be discussing here titled Overcoming Insecurity and Restoring Emotional Well-Being, written by Barton Goldsmith, PhD. Now, that's a hell of a name.
Barton Goldsmith.
Yeah, like a New Orleans like detective, you know. Ah, oh, say that, Missy. I'm Barton Goldsmith. I'm here to solve your crime. Yeah. So as we do with this, we are going to dive into the bullet points in the article. We're not going to read the full article, but if you go to our show description, you will be able to find the link to this particular article and read the entire thing for yourself. But, you know, by us going through the bullet points, it's going to create conversation. And I think that's the beauty of being able to discuss these articles from Psychology Today, is the conversation part that we're able to get, because in a lot of ways, for stuff like this, it helps to understand that you're not the only one. And, you know, us talking about, you know, our insecurity issues, if that helps somebody else out there that may be struggling with that, that feels like they can't say anything to anybody about it because who else is, you know, going through that, we want to help, you know?
Absolutely, we want to help, because everybody has experienced persistent feelings of insecurity. Except, you know, I do know some people who obviously do not feel insecure and have never had an insecure moment in their lives. You know those kind of people? Like, they're
sociopaths?
Is that what that is?
Something like that. I mean, because it, and again, maybe it's coming from a privileged life, but I don't see how a person can go through life with not having any I'm not, you know, in terms of insecurities, you know, they don't have to be so overwhelming that, you know, they, you know, you want to hide from society or anything like that. It could be just like the little, like butterflies before, you know, going up on stage. If you're, you know, doing a concert or going in a play, that's insecurity, because at that point you're like, oh my God, I got to get in front of these people, but you do it.
So you're saying that insecurity is just part of the human condition.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, again, in bigger things, like, you know, not everybody's going to, you know, win the gold medal, I guess. So you're in depending on the type of situation you're in, you know, there's going to be working with other people. And working with other people, you're going to find people that are better at you than what you do. And that's going to make you insecure. I mean, I think that's just natural. That comes. I mean, that, again, that doesn't mean give up, you know, because there are a lot of people who, like writers, for instance, you know, there are a lot of writers who are mediocre, but still make a lot of money. And that's why I feel it's kind of silly to say this writer's no good. Well, that writer just made $100 million selling movie rights.
Exactly. What did you get?
Exactly. I mean, it, you know, it doesn't mean you can't have a fair critique of their work, but a fair critique and saying they shouldn't make money when they're making hand over fist. Like, come on.
Yeah.
But anyway, we got some bullet points here. Did you want me to dive into number one?
Yes, please. Why don't we?
All right. Number one, seeking emotional support. Reaching out to others. Social support plays a crucial role in reducing stress and enhancing emotional well-being. Research by Cohen and Wills, 1985, emphasizes the importance of having a support system to provide emotional reassurance. Support groups. Joining support groups can provide a sense of community and understanding. Research in clinical psychology underscores the benefits of group therapy in addressing emotional challenges. Laborsky, 1994. Cool. Sounds official. Relationship checkup. Engaging in open and supportive communication with a partner can foster feelings of security and trust. Studies in couples therapy highlight the importance of effective communication and maintaining healthy relationships. Mm-hmm. Gottman and Silver, 1999. Mm-hmm. Important stuff here. You know, the reaching out to others. I mean, like I mentioned, there are a lot of times, and I've been very guilty of this myself over the years and will continue to be guilty of it, of thinking nobody else has experienced this problem but me. Who can I talk to? Mm-hmm. And a lot of people have, you know, maybe not every citizen on the face of the earth, of course, but there are people out there that can help you out. And depending on how severe it is, like, you know, I should have probably had visited a support group or two after my divorce. Mm-hmm. You know, didn't take advantage of that. Thought I could just, you know, I'm fine now. Yay. You know, and that wasn't the right thing to do. You know, it is important to, also the idea of community, I think, when it comes to something like, you know, a support group or whatever, knowing that you have that community there gives you a stronger sense of I can finish this than not having that, than maybe having just one person. I mean, it would be like an alcoholic, let's use this example, that only has one friend that is trying to get off the booze but is having just as much of a struggle as, you know, person number one, compared to a support group of alcoholics that are there to keep each other in check. Doesn't mean that, you know, stuff won't slide, because that's what happens with alcoholism. But having that support group can help. And, you know, as we've talked about before as well, if you are in a relationship with somebody, you know, like a romantic relationship, you know, real close friendship or something like that, yeah, have those checkups. It is vital. I mean, you don't necessarily have to, you know, make it a, you know, like a quarterly meeting for a Wall Street company or something like that, but just having it somewhat regularly, like, hey, we cool type of deal, you know?
Yeah, no, it's a good point. I agree completely that romantic relationships require more communication than you think. Like, if you're like, I think that's the right amount of communication, you should communicate more.
Also, I think it would be, there may be times to where in a relationship you decided, like, I don't know if I can necessarily tell this person something. Maybe accept that. It, like, if you really don't want to tell them, accept the fact that you're not going to tell them, and don't get upset that they don't solve the problem for you because you don't want to tell them. Like, if you were going to just think, I'm not, do you get my point?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that is not the ideal thing to do, of course, but, you know, again, conversation, talking it up.
Yeah. Also, you know, support groups, very helpful. I think more helpful than individual therapy, particularly when you are dealing with some type of recent precipitating event, like a divorce or, you know, assault of some sort or whatever kind of thing that you're going through that you want to talk to somebody about. It feels so different to have a group of people there telling you things that are similar to things you're going through and relating to you. And they're people that just look like normal people, that like a regular clothes on, looking at a computer on the Zoom support group. So helpful compared to having to, it's just so great to have people to bounce ideas off of.
For important stuff like that, yeah. I mean, and there's a big difference, you know, there is a big difference. And I'm not saying you shouldn't necessarily go this route, but, you know, if you were going to like Facebook groups or Reddit or something like that to have that support group, you are missing something from that personal connection.
You are, but like during the pandemic, support groups met via Zoom.
And that's what I'm saying. I think Zoom is you know, better than the Facebook groups than going Reddit. Because during the pandemic, it was important that, you know, unless we had to, we kept our, you know, in interactions with other humans, you know, small. So Zoom was vital. You know, I'm talking like it happened 50 years ago. It's like I'm talking about the 1918 Spanish flu or whatever they had. And then you had pictures of like cats wearing the mask too, you know.
So silly.
Yeah. Anyway, would you like to go to number two?
Sure, let's go to number two. Seeking professional guidance. Trusted advisors. Seeking advice from trustworthy professionals can help address personal and financial concerns. Studies in psychotherapy suggest that consulting with professionals can lead to positive outcomes. Norcross, 2002. Well, I should hope that studies in psychotherapy suggest. I hope they do more than suggest that consulting with professionals can lead to positive outcomes. I mean, can't we just say that? Is that not true? We have to suggest that?
Think of this country. Sometimes things need to... I mean, there are, you know, instructions of what not to put in toasters. So sometimes people need to be bluntly told stuff like this. Yeah, it should be... It should just be assumed that, you know, going to psychotherapy, you're going to have positive, results for doing that. And, you know, I can tell you from personal experience, that is the case. Now, trustworthy professionals, we got to keep that in mind. There are some bad therapists out there. There are some bad doctors and stuff out there. But
that, it doesn't have to be they're bad. It's also personality. Or like, it's such a personal thing.
And you do have to have the right connection. I mean, if, you know, you can have two people that went to the same school and got the same type of degree, but if you can't really communicate that well with person A, you go with person B. Yeah. And, you know, but very, very true. And yeah, to your point, I don't think there's that, you know, that much more that, you know, can be said to, illuminate this even more, but go see a professional.
Yeah, I have, you know, utilized the help of lots of professionals in my life, you know, from carpenters to massage therapists to, you know, therapists and support groups and stuff like that.
Yep.
And I find that's always been a helpful journey to go on, whether it turns out the way that you assume it will or you want it will. You go into it with some sort of expectation, you're apt to be disappointed. But I think if you find someone that you can at least have an open mind about, don't judge people when you first look at them. Let them talk to you. Let them hear from you. Be brave and speak to them and then see what happens. Because if you're not going to do that in the first session, you're not going to know whether you're compatible with that person or not. So, you know, have an idea of what you want to talk about and bring it up and say, I want to talk about this, and then talk about it and see what happens, right? Maybe that person is going to be awesome and they're going to address your concerns and you're going to feel so much better after you talk to them. Or maybe they're not and you're going to have, it's going to be awkward and weird, but guess what? You never have to talk to that person again. You can totally ghost a therapist.
Yeah. And they can't cry about it.
I mean, they probably prefer to be ghosted, honestly. Because, like, what, are they going to be friends with all the people that they...
Well, I don't think that ethically that would be something that they would do. Like, the therapists I've had have been very, you know, like, not that I, you know, offered, hey, can I be your buddy type of deal. But, you know, like, you get the impression, you know, the ones I've been, you know, been to, like, you may learn a name, but that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't think that a person should try and develop a friendship with a therapist. I think if you treat them like an objective third party that is there to help you out, I think, you know, you're going to get some great results there. But to, you know, your well said point, you got to find the right person for you.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Shall I go on with number three?
Yes, please.
Physical and emotional assessments, medical evaluation. Seeking a medical evaluation from a healthcare professional can alleviate fears associated with physical symptoms of stress. Studies on the impact of medical consultations highlight the reassurance they can provide. Kapchuk et al. 2000. Yeah, if you can get that, you know, go to a doctor and you know, have a quick checkup. You know, there are things they can test for, you know, like cardiovascular or stuff like that. If, you know, you feel like stress is affecting you in certain ways, they can do tests. Like, hopefully you have either the right insurance or the money to be able to do that, because this is not, you know, like going to the store and, you know, buying, you know, a lunch for yourself at the deli. Or something like that. But, you know, it's another one of those things that, you know, it should just be second nature. People should just assume that. But yeah, you know, accepting the fact that, you know, heavy stress can affect you in physical ways. I mean, that is a known fact. Having a medical professional there, be there to make sure that physically you're okay today, or maybe they can catch something like hypertension or whatever early on so that, you know, you can be given the right medicine to calm your body down.
Yeah, absolutely. And you never know what it could be. Like, it could change your life.
It could,
you could understand something about yourself.
Or you could find out that medically, you know, as far as your physical body goes, everything's going fine. And that should be a sigh of relief.
Absolutely. Yes.
You know, hopefully it doesn't affect the pocketbook that much. Thank you, America. But, you know, you get my point. In a perfect world, we'd have the ability to see a doctor to be able to just double check. And if you have that ability, especially in times of high stress or something like that, if you are going through a divorce and you just happen to have a chance to see a doctor to get that medical checkup to just see if the stress is affecting you, by all means, go ahead and do it.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason not to. It's not invasive. And there are many such tests, you know, and you can go to your physician and say, what would you recommend for me? Or, you know, I'm concerned about X, Y, and Z. Can I get tests that are correlated with those? And my experience with medical professionals is that they will try to do whatever you ask them to. Like, they won't be like, no, we're not doing that. They'll be like, well, if we can get your insurance to pay for it, we'll do that.
All right. But there's also stuff you can do on your own, and the next point touches upon that. How about you dive into that?
Yes, self-care and personal growth. Self-care. Prioritizing self-care is essential for emotional well-being. It's akin to the flight attendant's instruction to put your own oxygen mask on first, because until you do, you can't help anyone else. Studies emphasize the importance of self-care in maintaining a healthy balance in life. Yes. So self-care is really essential for emotional well-being, just like it says. And it's so hard for me to get into a routine of self-care. I do some things that are good for me, that feel good to me to do, like dancing.
She's a dance machine. Watch her get down.
Dancing machine. That's all that's coming to mind that I enjoy right now.
Surely. Or yoga.
Yoga, yeah.
Yeah. stuff like that. I mean, but self-care too, like, you know, you don't just have a uniform haircut, you know, a standard traditional haircut. You do the self-care of getting the haircut that you feel best represents you and your personality, which is awesome as fucking hell. I'll put it that way. But, you know, you put that self-care into yourself as well. Self-care, you pick up the sixth string, you play songs. That is self-care. You know, and
playing with the kitties is self-care.
It is. Animals are a great way to, you know, ease your mental health. Now,
they're a great way to always have something positive to say.
Yeah. I mean, granted, with a caveat, like, you know, you want to make sure that, you know, you can actually care for them, you know, or that you are the right person to be caring for a particular type of animal. Like, I love dogs. I love working with dogs. But personally, as an individual, a human being, I don't feel I am a good dog parent. And I've had some dogs. I showed you the picture today of my last puppy, Gypsy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she was a little tiny thing that would just pop out of her mother a couple of days before that. But yeah, maybe a week or two, but because that was when she first opened her eyes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but, you know, I just don't have the patience of, you know, oh, God, I got to get up and take them outside.
It's like before you have the first one, you just think it's going to be so amazing. It's going to be worth it, right? Plus, it's going to help you. Like, I'm going to get up in the morning now, and I'm going to go for a walk in the morning, and the dog's going to help me. But really, the reality of it is you're still the same person. Now you just have a furry thing to take care of.
Yeah. I mean, the best thing about having a dog for me was that I had three kids to take care of it. yeah, you know, that's why I feel I am, as far as a personal, you know, a person that it, you know, has responsibility of animals, I think cats are the absolute best for me.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, and they love me. Let's put it that way.
You are a cat whisperer.
Shall I go on with the last point? All right. Confronting insecurity. Recognize its temporary nature. Insecurity is usually temporary, and recognizing this transience can be empowering. Trust in your ability to navigate and work your way out of this uncomfortable place. Easier said than done, I know, but it is true. With all insecurities, you know, whether there's a valid reason for the insecurity or it's just your brain fucking with you, it is temporary. You know, like, let's say it is like you feel insecure about your looks when you're single or something like that. That insecurity is going to go away once you find another human being that goes, you're fucking awesome. You know, that doesn't mean it couldn't come back, but you get my point though.
Yeah.
That feeling that you have of, oh, I'm never going to be with another human type of deal is just that, temporary. And I've kind of been experiencing that with my youngest. You know, he's almost 18 now, about a month away. Damn.
Wow.
Yeah. He's the one you hear at the end of every episode going, goodbye, darling. You know, he's almost 18 and experiencing stuff for the first time like I was at that age. And, you know, he's had times to where he felt like he couldn't see the light at the end of the tunnel. And we've all been there.
Yeah.
Of course. I mean, it's not like it goes away, but you get used to it more, I guess. As time goes on, the more you experience that the world doesn't just fall apart after, you know, one solitary thing. You tend to get deadened inside. I don't know how to explain it, but insecurities, stuff like that, it is just temporary. You know, whether it be, you know, if you're insecure about your looks, whether it be finding another person that likes your looks, that bye-bye insecurity, or just if it's a work situation, you're insecure about working with another coworker. Maybe you get another job, or maybe you get a promotion to another department, or maybe you find that you examine by going to a therapist or a support group, you examine the reasons why you're insecure and maybe work them out. Maybe there's something that you can do to better yourself. Mm-hmm. And again, the temporary nature, because if you put that work in, or, you know, do any of the other things that, you know, I said, that part of your life will go away and there will be a new challenge and a new focus at that particular time. But life is full of temporary things that may seem like the most important thing in the world, but you know, as time will show, like, it is temporary.
I agree completely. And you never want to create a permanent solution to a temporary problem.
To your point, yeah. If there are people who deal with insecurities and it affects them so bad that they do take the ultimate way out, think of Kurt Cobain. Mm-hmm. You know, he was dealing with a lot of physical issues involving his stomach and everything, but I think a lot of it too was insecurity. Like, he didn't want, I shouldn't say he didn't, because I think he wanted to be the rock star, but he didn't want to be as big as what he ultimately became. Mm. And I think that led to insecurities on his part as well. You know, granted, you know, we know a lot about the guy now, and he had his own mental health issues from childhood on that he had to deal with, but he ultimately took a permanent solution to a temporary problem. Mm-hmm. And he ultimately ended up with a daughter that didn't know her father. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. To your point, yeah, it is important to keep that in mind, because that is not to disregard any of the emotions that you go through in that period. We're human. You're going to experience those emotions, and just understand that you can bathe in those emotions, really, but time is the towel that will dry that off.
I love it. Yeah. Time is the towel. Time is the towel.
Don't forget to bring a towel.
That's right. Bring it all back home to Towley.
Yes, I love Towley. All right. Any other comments on this article?
No, I thought it was very good.
I agree. And you know what else I think is very good?
What?
The fact that we have these lovely people that listen to us each and every week here on Friends Talking Nerdy.
Yes, of course. That's so wonderful.
So if you get to this point in this audio journey today, thank you very much for listening. Each Monday, we'll have something in this podcast space to entertain your ear holes. Until we meet again, we bid you adieu.
Farewell.
Insert something funny here. Insert.
Subscribe to Friends Talking Nerdy on iTunes, the Google Play Music Store, as well as Spotify. Remember to support Friends Talking Nerdy on Patreon. Goodbye, darling.